When teachers call students by name in the classroom, that's a formal use of their name, on par with the use of their name in online records and report cards. That's how Education Minister Bill Hogan has defined the use of student names in a newly revised Policy 713 on sexual orientation and gender identity. Informal use of names, according to Hogan and the Department of Education, happens only in social interactions outside of the classroom. The new definition of formal means that the province's re-revised Policy 713 now explicitly requires teachers to get parental consent before using the preferred name of students aged 15 and younger. Hogan's previous revision appeared to remove the requirement for teachers to use preferred names for students under 16, but it did not restrict them from doing so. That definition lies in contrast to how Kelly Lamrock, the province's child and youth advocate, defined the use of names in his report on Policy 713 published last week. Lamrock described informal use of names as including classroom communication, and he contrasted it to official school use in online records and report cards. Lamrock has heavily criticized Policy 713 for creating rules around the use of names for trans and genderqueer students that do not apply to other groups. In other words, the youth advocate says the policy is discriminatory. Hogan's latest revision includes two other tweaks to the policy, one allowing guidance counselors, psychologists, and social workers to freely use preferred names of students, and another removing the requirement for kids who choose not to inform their parents of their preferred name to seek counseling support in school. Hogan told reporters in a short media scrum on Wednesday that the changes addressed all of the concerns raised in Lamrock's 97-page report on the policy. Anglophone East District Education Council member Kristen Kavukian says that's just not true.
I can say that I am deeply, deeply disappointed in what the government's response has been to Kelly Lamrock's thoughtful review. You know, this was an opportunity for the government to actually seriously consider the safety and security of students in our schools and consider the true ramifications of what it was proposing. And this response seems like a bit of a gotcha move, you know, this sort of clever rewording of, you know, formal to now include classroom use. In other words, if formal used to mean things like someone's transcript or report cards having their preferred name on them. And now this newly rewritten document seems to expand the term formal to include classroom use, as if that takes care of the problem. So this seems like a very clever move. Aha, we'll just change the meaning of formal. But it's only clever if one takes the people of New Brunswick for fools. I'm no lawyer, but I somehow doubt that that one would hold up in court because words have meanings. And this government can't single-handedly change the generally accepted meaning of a word. But more importantly, I would say, Erica, that this also does nothing to change the discriminatory aspect of the policy. The whole point of Kelly Lamrock discussing using preferred names in class was that he said, look, if you're going to be able to call someone whose name is Frederick, Freddie in class, because that's what they would prefer, but you won't do this for non-binary and trans folks, then that is discriminatory because you have one rule for people who are not trans or non-binary, and you have another rule for those who are. And that's basically the dictionary definition of discrimination. So changing informal to formal does nothing to address that basic problem that, you know, we use students' nicknames or short forms all the time as a common courtesy in class. We call people what they would like to be called. And so, you know, the kind of clever redefinition of formal does nothing to change that illegality.
On Wednesday, Hogan would not say whether or not provincial lawyers had vetted his revised Policy 713 for potential conflicts with other laws, including the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Instead, he responded to the question this way.
So in any act that we bring forward, there's always the possibility that parts can be challenged, or any policy, that parts can be challenged, and it would be not appropriate for me to presuppose what the courts will judge.
The Anglophone East deck, along with other decks throughout the province, passed a policy in June that effectively brought back some of the original protections in the policy, such as the requirement for teachers to use kids' preferred names regardless of age and parental consent. Minister Hogan said Wednesday that the provincial policy should prevail.
Decks have the ability to strengthen a provincial policy if they choose to do so. My recommendation would be the policy is fine the way it is. However, should they choose to go forward with what they proposed, we'll take it on a district-by-district basis.
Christian Kavukian says that sounds like fighting words.
You know, what I think is truly unfortunate is that Minister Hogan admitted publicly that he hadn't read any of the motions put forward by any of the district education councils before he pronounced judgment on them in the media. I find this deeply disappointing because, of course, you know, we're in the education business and, you know, what we do is we read things before we comment on them. I also think that had he had an opportunity to actually read them, he might have said something a bit different about them. Because in fact, you know, it was Minister Hogan's choice to leave Section 8 in the rewritten Policy 713. So in fact, he was the one who empowered us to add to his motion in the first place. So I find it a little disingenuous that he said what he said in the public, and very disappointing that he did so without reading them. As for what our role is and ought to be, I think Kelly Lamrock did all of us a big favor in reviewing that legally and in clarifying that, in fact, district education councils don't only have a role. In fact, we have a duty to ensure that policies that are left vague are clarified for the students and staff and administrators in our districts.
Lamrock's report also included a model policy for DECs that would legally enact his recommendations. Kavukian says the Anglophone East DEC has planned a meeting for today to discuss the Lamrock report, and now that agenda will no doubt include Hogan's latest changes. Any further changes to Anglophone East District policies will be made and posted before school begins this year, says Kavukian.
One thing I can assure you is that the Anglophone East School District website will have up-to-date information about all of the policies and motions passed by the District Education Council before Labor Day, I would assume, and so that we will be able to assure people that at least they have the most up-to-date information. Unfortunately, what this government's last move has done has not actually clarified anything to do with what students can expect on the first day. And in fact, I think they've perhaps muddied the waters without giving anyone any reassurance. And again, that's why I say that this is disingenuous and it's deeply disappointing. But as a district education council, we take our role very seriously and we will communicate very clearly with students and parents the decisions that we have taken.
That's Anglophone East District Education Council member Kristen Kavukian.